Hello, my friends, visionaries, seekers of more. Welcome to Let's Talk. I am Shay Marville. This isn't just a podcast. It's a journey. Do you ever feel that persistent tug, yelling, whispering, crying? There's more for you. There's more in you. Are you ready to dive deep, challenge your beliefs, evolve your perspectives? Together, we'll explore the depths of self-discovery, unlocking talents, passions, and potentials, one conversation at a time. Sometimes I will remind you to unleash your greatness. Sometimes we'll have a guest modeling their greatness. Sometimes we'll meditate. So sit back, open your mind, embark on this journey to unleash what? You. Let's begin. Vicky, welcome to Let's Talk. As you know, I was so absolutely over the moon about talking to you because I wanted to know where you are at right now in 2023 in terms of your perspective on helping female entrepreneurs. And I also understand, which I love, is that you are committed to the global transformation that we need. And so would you tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now?
Sure. Hi, it's nice to be here. Nice to meet you as well. So we have a community of women and non-binary folk around the world who are really committed to like surfacing the new business models, the new ideas, the new ways of like redefining business that actually works on a human scale. Not all of us serving the business, but the business serving us, and for the kind of world that we want to be in. And I'm like a really just a huge believer in our creativity to solve challenges we're facing in front of us versus like, let's just get more women doing the same thing that men are getting funded to do, which isn't working for any of us in general. Like if you just sort of look at the economic models out there, increasing inequality, like climate catastrophe, like just everywhere.
The list of things that are like wrong, massive, right?
Right. And so as an entrepreneur, and I know you are too, like my whole vibe around this, I wrote a book in 2014. And one of the chapters was the first chapter was entitled, Everything's Broken. What a Great Time to Be Alive. Right? So that's like, if I was going to summarize me, that's me. And so I just look around and it's just like endless opportunity, like pretty much everything needs to be redesigned. And so we are including like how things get funded, why they get funded, and what success is. And so we just, you know, like I've been an entrepreneur forever and I looked at all the bugs in the system, essentially.
Yes.
And if I was starting over again, if we were starting over again, we would not design the same system we have in front of us, where you
absolutely
kind of make 10 bets and hope one works and you flush the rest of that capital. That's crazy. That's like super inefficient. There's a few different things that are emerging where crowdfunding and this kind of collective approach to solving problems is much more in the zeitgeist than like, I'm a billionaire and I'm funding the next thing.
Yes.
Right.
So yes.
And it's much more of a feminine approach too, of doing things collectively. And for anyone who's kind of been in the entrepreneur space for a long time, like it's money is one part of it, but it's not the most important part.
What do you think the most important part is?
If it's not money. So timing, massive. Like what is it the time for right now? If I was asking someone about their business, like the only two questions I really care about are why you, and why now?
Yes.
So if you can articulate why you're the person to solve this problem, like, you know, that strong founder story of like,
yes,
you know, I noticed this thing, I'm going to get out of bed every day to solve this. This is why I'm here. Looking for that kind of intensity, and commitment and passion and like deep rooted, belief and motivation, alongside really understanding the market conditions you're in and what is it the time for and what is it not the time for. These things are really crucial. And we don't always talk about that.
No.
Kind of like you just have this, like, I have an idea, I'm taking it to market. And it's like, does the market want it? Really? You know?
Yes.
Is it really needed right now? So anyway, those are some of the elements around this. But also like, if I was not going to do 5 more startups, which is what I kind of faced when I was 50, I'm like, I've done a whole bunch of startups, I've taken a company public. I just keep doing this and turning out things. Or I could actually get underneath the surface of what I think the really big challenges are to get funded, 50% of the population to get funded because they can't through traditional ways. And so how do we redesign?
Right. Your organization, though, is really about training and creating the climate for female entrepreneurs to, you know, feel safe to learn how to pitch, to have to network, to grow their ideas, correct?
Yeah. So we have funding and a whole community of us that are here to support each other. And so I wouldn't necessarily say training. Like, I guess kind of like, I think we're sort of like overeducated on everything. Well, we need another workshop on blah, blah, blah. That's not really it. It's more like, I know that this is probably not going to be video, but like, I have this on my desk and this is what happens in our community. We say, yes,
this is going to be video. Show it again. Like, I mean, and see, so that is so powerful because because I think one of the things that is preventing so many women from taking the leap is they are carrying a great deal of responsibility. Mm-hmm. They feel like they have to have a certain degree or a certain amount of experience before they can actually take the leap. And I think, well, you know, what I've heard you talk about is, you know, being a collaborator, asking for help, telling people what you need, and creating the environment in which you can be with others who are like yourself, but also who also see the opportunity into the future.
Yeah, I mean, we're really sold a narrative that we have to know how to do all these things and do it by ourselves. Mm. And so we're very much conditioned to not ask for help, right? Oh, she's too busy. I know she said she wanted to help me, but it's like, no, she's got to have too many things going on, or I don't matter enough, or I'm not ready enough yet. And in our community, like as an entrepreneur, like by the time you take anything to market, you've probably heard everything that's wrong with you.
Yes.
Every single angle, you know, like way too many times, all this unsolicited advice. Thank you very much that I didn't ask for. I know what's wrong with me. Got it. Okay. And now here we go. This is what I'm going to take into the world. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's got it all sorted out. But like in general, I think, you know, women and non-binary folk, like we just have a much harder time. And if you're a woman of color, like everyone's just trying to fix you all the time.
Yes. Always. Well, it's so interesting you say that, because it can be the thing that discourages you from the excitement that is inside of you that's saying, I want to give birth to this new thing. And I was talking to someone recently and I was telling them about Billion Women's Media and Billion Women's Media Club and all these things that you know, one of my companies are going to do. And this human being said to me, why don't you wait until you're a billionaire to do that? And I said, you've missed the point. I'm actually trying to reach a billion women. Right. And why do I have to wait until it's justifiable? And so I think there's so many women, especially in the last 3 years, who have gone through extraordinary things, you know, as the world has, who sort of lost their mojo if they had it. And they're also looking for a new way to experience the world, to make a living, and also to be happy. And not that having a business makes you happy. We know that there are many, many long days and sleepless nights. But my contention is that to be happy, you have to be yourself and be authentic. And I think I think entrepreneurship is that for many women.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, like in most places, people are trying to like turn you into something that has happened in the past. Like, oh, the way to be successful in this retail space, if you have $100,000, is follow these four rules, right? And so like every headline you see is the 5 books to read, the 3 things to do, the 4 people, you know, like, no, the path to success is yours, right? You have to find your way. And so, you know, I held up the sign yes earlier, because one of the things that happens in our community, we've all decided that we want to help each other grow our businesses. That's what happens when you come into this community. You commit to being radically generous with each other. So if you have gifts to give, the things that you have in abundance, like for me, it's connections. I have just a ton of connections. I happily and every day give my gifts all day long to anyone who asks. Yes. You want a connection to somebody that I'm connected to on LinkedIn? I'm happy to make an introduction. And that's also me sharing my power and sharing my influence with others who need it. Everybody has something in abundance. It could be you're great on social and you're great at amplifying people's messages. That helps people with their marketing for their business, whatever those elements are. And so in this community, as we're sharing, we're asking regularly, you know, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to create in the world? And is there something I can do to help? And it's a very unusual kind of vibe. Like, it's just not what normally happens, right? You're what you mean, I just met you and you're trying to help me. Like, what? And we're all, and then one of the things that happens is as you start to give, giving becomes receiving in this community. You start to, like, I go to bed each day going, how amazing, I was so well used today. Right? Like, seven people reached out. I actually had things to connect them to. I feel so great about using what I have in abundance, as opposed to just sitting here and hoarding it. That's not interesting. And all of the different pieces that you need for a business, like, all of that is in our community together. So we have advisors and people who do follow-on funding, and we have influencers in corporates and people with experience, you know, on maybe how to do this, or they're just open, and like a lot of emotional support because it's a really tough, long road. And so this community at Coralis is here to support one another, grow their businesses. And we are proving to ourselves kind of like over and over this reminder of like, it's so much more fun when you're part of each other's stories. If I know what you need and I can contribute something to that, then when you're successful, I feel like I was part of that. It's amazing. As opposed to each of us like fighting for scraps separately. When we start to share these things, it's much more fulfilling. And so entrepreneuring together is really the next wave of how to be an entrepreneur, doing collective entrepreneurship as opposed to individuals.
I love this term. I love this. And I think it speaks so well to the way many of us orient ourselves. I don't think it's ever good to generalize, because I think generalizations create is a form of conditioning anyways. But there was something you said earlier about, you know, always wanting to fix people. Something that I think is really like missed all the time is that, you know, when you look at, let's say, marginalized, I'm saying quotes, women or women, women of color, women who come from atypical communities to become entrepreneurs. It, again, it's often the focus is, you know, what can we train you in? What can we show you? And what is often not seen are all the ways these groups have had to innovate in order to survive their circumstances. And I think that's actually what makes a lot of people really great in entrepreneurs, because they've been innovating most of their life in order to not just survive, but thrive into something more.
Totally. You see things differently. Innovation comes from the edges, period. Right. So if you're sitting in the center and you look like what is supposed to be the norm and the character of like what a leader looks like you're already behind the eight ball. Not interesting. That's right. Right? You see things in a certain way of like the way things are organized. What's so incredible, and I just think there's so much innovation supporting people that are like, and you said marginalized, we talk about like being pushed to the margins by someone, right? Those who are pushed to the margins, though, and they in general are like really scrappy, right? Those of us who can't get access to capital, like I am a bootstrapper extraordinaire because I could never access any capital. So I can get anything done with pennies. Yeah, you too. Right. And so that's where you want to put your capital. Super efficient, hungry, like actually being overfunded is just like,
it's not.
I mean, in the model right now of like raise as much as you can, spend it as fast as you can. If you fail, fine. You know, like Zoom, the $500 million that they raised for creating pizza with robots that surprise, surprise failed. $500 million. To solve a problem that, like, do we have a problem with, like, pizza's not hot enough when it arrives?
Exactly. Like, our problems are poverty, food, deprivation, you know, those types of things, houselessness. Tell me, you know, you've talked before about an uncle, I think, that you had who was kind of a provocateur, you know, who had kind of found his special way of living and exploring the world. Is he the one that inspired you to become an entrepreneur? Did you know from a very young age, you know what, that's who I am?
Well, I grew up in a very entrepreneurial family, but interestingly, we didn't call ourselves entrepreneurs. Like my parents were just in business doing this stuff on, you know, on the side. And so I was encultured in that, but I never thought of becoming an entrepreneur because, you know, I'm in my 50s now. So when I was like at, you know, school age, trying to decide what to do with my life, entrepreneurs were people who couldn't get jobs, right? Like it was like, you could just go get a job. It was not a cool thing in any way. And so I didn't really think of that. But I was looking very hungrily for years. Like nothing looked like something I wanted to spend my life on. I knew I wanted to have a big impact, but like none of the options looked interesting. And so I happened to become an entrepreneur over in Eastern Europe when the wall fell down. And because I was surrounded by all these people that were dreaming what they're going to do now that they're free. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm free too. What am I going to do? And so I started a business and then got all my friends to start businesses. But my uncle was interesting because he was like one of the, like my parents and my family and the connections were mostly like farmers and teachers. Mm-hmm. Like that was kind of the stew I grew up in. I grew up on a farm. And he had traveled all over the world. And he ate like really exotic food compared to what we did. And like every time I go to their house, there's like a story behind everything that was on the wall. This is from Africa. This is from India. And I was just like, wow, look at all these things that are out there. So I was super curious about the possibilities. And so he was the one that kind of like, I said, I don't know what to do. There's like so many things that I'm interested in. And he just said, make a list of all the things you think you might be interested in and just start. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I just started something. I'm like, nope, that's not it. I thought I'll be an academic because I'll have a lot of freedom there. And I was like, nope, no freedom there. And then next. And so I, you know, I spent a lot of time just sort of searching for where I could reach my potential and be the most free and be happiest. And for me, entrepreneurship is that. I get to look at something that doesn't make sense to me. I get to dream up a solution to that. And then I use my, you know, storytelling capacity to like get people excited about it and enrolling them. And, you know, I've been ahead of the curve a lot on a lot of my ideas over the years. So timing is like a whole thing that I've learned a lot about. But I feel like the timing that we hit with SHEEO, which was what we were first called, and we just changed our name to Corliss, that timing was really, really perfect. We, you know, we just sort of hit this wave of people not really understanding that, you know, a couple percent of capital globally goes to 51% of the population and how unjust that was. And then coming up with this new model for how to make a difference.
Wow. Could you share that quote again?
Yeah. So 2% of capital, that one?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So about 2% of capital, and it's gone down since COVID, goes to 51% of the population. Yeah. And if you are a woman of color, it's not even a statistic.
It's like stunning.
0.006%. Like it's a complete nightmare.
It is a nightmare.
And so we are living in a world like not designed by us or for us. And so surprise, everything just feels like wrong.
Do you embrace the donut economic?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I love what she's doing. I mean, I think
I do too.
Anyone who's out there using their financial imagination, using their imagination to dream up new approaches, we are in a moment where it's very clear that our systems and structures are biased and designed for a different time and place, and they're not working for us and they're actually harming us.
Yes.
So we have to get into our imagination to rethink it. And, you know, we've never lived in a time where there's been more of a mono narrative of like, the only way to grow is to like raise money. You know, if you don't scale, it's not worth it. And I'm like, actually, in our entire portfolio of about 180 businesses right now across 5 countries, we have 15% of our portfolios led by Indigenous women, 45 to 50% are women of color. Mm-hmm. And so like we have a portfolio that doesn't look like other portfolios. And the ones that are doing really, really well are the ones that are deeply rooted in their community, in relationship with their customers, not too embedded in the global supply chain nightmare. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which makes that super there's not a lot of resiliency and you get like just hostage to, you know, it's really challenging. Those who are like really striking out and creating businesses that work for them on a scale that works in their communities, rooted in their communities, are doing really well. And like, that's what an economy is right now. We've got this whole extractive thing where it's just the big ones are just 96 cents of every new dollar of GDP in the world is going to the 0.1%. So there is no middle anymore. This is all about, like, we're basically like slaves to the billionaires.
Yes.
It's the model that we've created. So it's got to stop.
No, and it's not sustainable in any shape, way, or form. You're very comfortable talking about your age and all of your experience. I have this thought, and I just would love to know what you think about it, which is, you know, I think we're similar ages, and you know, I'm in my 50s, and I grew up in a time where much of what we experience daily and talk about wasn't possible 30 years ago or 40 years ago. And I feel that this is a moment for women in their middle life as well, to, you know, who have ideas, who maybe didn't ever, who never knew that they could. I think this is a moment where they can. What do you think about that?
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. no, absolutely. So the fastest growing segment of entrepreneurs are over 50, women over 50, right? This is, I mean, who do you want to invest in? Someone who's like got their social capital, knows their stuff, is like prepared, organized, yeah, and like risk savvy.
Yes, yes.
And it's like, I see this thing, and also have like no more F's to give.
Yes, that's right. I know, no capacity.
Yeah,
have like, to go to bed.
Yeah, and so it's, I mean, I started this when I was 50, and it's been like, it's been so much fun to kind of just like live in your power.
Yes.
Like, no, I'm not doing that. That doesn't work. And, you know, we have enough longevity that we can just see patterns of like the same old, oh, another trend. Oh, another trend.
Exactly.
It's everything. Exactly. AI is everything. Like ding,
yes,
ding, cycle through. And so we've kind of, it feels like we sort of like lost our marbles globally, and it just keeps like on this spin cycle. And so, yeah, I mean, if the structure that you're in where you're working isn't working for you, we see lots of people jumping out of corporate. Like it's just,
yeah,
it's too much. This, the way that we work 24/7, mm-hmm, and always on is really hard. I think, you know, we see a lot of, women who are having kids just not going back to, mm-hmm, the workplace because it's not flex enough. And in,
yes,
fact, a few of our most, we have lots of interesting ventures, but some of our interesting, things that we're seeing across the portfolio are people that have like fractional accountants, fractional, mm, lawyers, fractional HR. And so they have incredible talent that was like partner level in like big companies that have,
yes,
left,
yes,
because they want some more flexibility. And so they work in pods in this new pod HR structure,
oh,
where here's a pod of work for the group and you take what you can. And if you like overcommit, put it back in so the pod can deal with it. And so pick up your kids at soccer at 3, like whatever the things are you need to do, you can do in this flex work cycle. And they're doing incredibly well with incredible talent. I know that you're in the talent space too.
I love this.
Imagine giving people flex work.
Yeah.
And then you get like incredible results. Customers are really happy. And it's totally possible. But if you need to do that with 500,000 employees at once, that's why we create these structures and these like boxes of you have to work this or that. And so a lot of that flexibility that starts getting built in for businesses designed for humans,
mm-hmm,
that's where I see a lot of innovation coming. And it's really, really exciting.
That, I was going to say, that's incredibly exciting. But it's also, it's like about wellness as well.
Exactly.
Like it's, totally, about like your capacity, not living beyond your physical, emotional, mental capacity, but like sharing the load. I think that's one of the things that's really powerful. Are you freaked out or inspired by some of the developments around AI?
It's a whole thing. Like I tend not to live in the freak out zone of anything.
Yes.
It's just like noticing that this is going to be massively disruptive.
Yes.
To everything that we think of as work. So I have a friend who is in this space, and he said he's now paying his coders 50K instead of 150K because of the ability. Like he can have junior people using the AI to do that.
Exactly.
The disruption that's going to happen in terms of jobs is really significant. I think it's early days.
Yes, yes.
But you know, on the flip side, like I'm always like, well, how might this free people up, mm-hmm, to do something that is actually much more aligned with, you know, their purpose here,
yes,
and why they're interested instead of doing like work that doesn't fulfill us at all. So
precisely.
I kind of float through that and like look for signs of hope, which is how I live every single day, which is,
yeah,
it's way too easy to look for all the signs of despair. Like all you have to do is like open up any news app or most social media.
Yes.
I'm fascinated by like, oh, that feels like the future. Oh, that sounds interesting. Oh, what's,
yeah,
working? Right. Like I put a lot of my energy towards what I see that's working, not what's not working. Cause all of us have a PhD in what's wrong.
Easy. Of course. But it also seems that the unknowing is, yeah, also a road to creativity.
Okay.
Because I think this is one of the things that we do as human beings is that we're just massively intrinsically creative.
Totally.
So I don't think, I know lots of people are afraid and paranoid. And it's like the gold rush right now. But I think it's also a moment for huge transformational change. I think that's what you're doing. You've put the seeds in place to model behavior, to change the framework, and to ask different questions. And I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful for your courage, and I'm really grateful that you've made so much room for other people to join the party. So listen, I want to thank you for being here. Last question, if there were three things that you could offer in terms of what you should do if you're an entrepreneur, you know, or you want to be an entrepreneur, what would you suggest?
Yeah, I mean, so number one is just find the others. Find people who get you, who support you. Get yourself into a community, right? Find a community that works for you, not just any community that doesn't make you feel good about yourself, but one where you're like, I am a better human around these people. Look for that and like honor that and share that.
Yes.
And give yourself a lot of that. I think it's just incredibly important to reach out. And then the other part is please receive from others. This is the hard part. We talk about asking for help, but really the hard part of that is receiving, right? Would you be willing to receive support for what you're doing in the world? Because you matter. You're amazing. Mm-hmm. We need you. We so need you right now. And don't cut yourself off from other people in that journey. Witnessing one another is like the stuff of life.
Ugh.
To have someone who goes, you know, Che, wow, you're like so different than you were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, tell me more. What do you mean? Right? And then you, because it's really hard to see ourselves. We are not ourselves without others. So being in that community and getting that feedback is incredibly useful. And then the last thing is, everything is about your intuition. Cultivate that intuition. You cannot outsource your intuition. Please don't. Please don't go ask someone if you're doing the right thing for you. No, they're not you. So don't do that. Don't give that away.
Yes. Don't outsource your intuition. I love that.
Mm.
Right? Let's cultivate it.
Yeah.
My friend, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful, as I mentioned before. I want to wish you continued success and abundance. And, you know, Let's Talk is just pleased that you joined us today.
Thank you for the invitation. Thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And so we wrap up another episode of Let's Talk. Remember, my friends, visionaries, seekers, self-discovery is your birthright. Each day, another step on this journey. Don't wait for the world to see the greatness in you. Recognize it in yourself. Embrace it and share it. And if today's conversation resonated with you, and you're yearning for more, I invite you to explore The Marvel Way, a roadmap to personal growth at www.coachshaymarville.com and at www.shaymarvillelettstalk.com and at shaymarville at Instagram. Listen, I'll find you, you find me. We inspire, uplift, and unleash our potential together. And until next time, stay curious, stay inspired, and keep unleashing the truth of who you are. Bye for now.